Welcome to Breeders Syndicate, where we explore the history of a clandestine scene through the eyes of the folks who lived it. I'm Matthew, owner of Riot Seeds. I'll occasionally be joined by my co-host Not-So-Dog, breeder and grower from Mendocino. Welcome to the underground. So I decided to add in this JJ New York interview because there's some really good info in it. There's a few technical difficulties in the beginning, and just want to apologize for that in advance, but there's good info in here. JJ's been an old friend for a long time, early member of the Chem Crew family, and always has good insight. So I hope you enjoy.
What's going on?
Not much, just dealing with the normal shit. You know how it goes.
So, there's a couple things I wanted to talk to you about.
Let's do it.
One being the Jeezel.
Jeezel.
The Jeezel is Super Skunk Chem D, to my knowledge.
Correct.
Right. You stated it was Super Skunk, I think.
It could be a Super Skunk S1. We don't know because there's no Chem D coming out of the progeny at all in any of the S1s. Or a super.
But to my knowledge, that came out of a Chem D mother, though, a Chem D flower.
I was told by Greg that it came out of the super skunk flower that the Chem D herd.
I thought I was told the opposite, but maybe I'm wrong.
Either one of us could be wrong. Greg didn't keep good notes, as we know.
Right. And that's kind of like from those guys, you know, him and the Weasel both. Yeah. You could ask him the same question twice and get two different answers.
That's a fact, dude.
Right. But have you grown the Mass Super Skunk ever?
No, I have never grown Mass Super Skunk. Never had it.
Okay. Because, with the speculation that the Mass Super Skunk is with the Sour Diesel, I kind of have a couple discrepancies about that. Because the Mass Super Skunk, if you ever grown it, it grows kind of medium height, and it's a single cola with a very thick stem.
Yes.
I mean, so like the theory that it would be part of the Chem Dog, with the Chem Dog making a Sour Diesel, the growth structure is way off. You know what I'm saying? If you've grown Chem 91 next to Sour Diesel, like this, the sativa growth on the Sour Diesel is just, you know, if you've grown it, I don't have to tell you.
Yeah,
how
it's night and day for Chem 91, sure.
Right. So if the theory of it, the Super Skunk went into it, then where does all that sativa growth come from? You know what I mean? Unless it's a recessive trait, but I kind of disagree with that because I've grown the DNL that I think that is part of the Sour Diesel, and it grows exactly the same, just that really stretchy sativa. You have to top it off and just branch it out and everything. So that's just my
yeah, I agree with some of your DDNL, and I saw a lot of sour traits in it as well. I would agree with that.
Right, and I was going to ask you that because I thought a while back that you had grown some of those DNL crosses.
Yes.
And I wanted to get your
opinion. I thought it was dank, dude. I love that shit.
Yeah, I'm still sitting on some beans. I haven't brought them out in a long time, but I got so many different things I've been working on that I don't know. I got to try to get into it soon, especially with all this skunk controversies.
Yeah.
that are going on. And that, speaking of controversies, over this whole thing with fucking giraffe neck,
dick neck, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I was Skunk VA, I would have just ripped his head off right there on the spot.
I'm surprised he didn't.
That dude is just like a mellow dude, and he's the kind of dude that once he snaps, like,
I would,
you know,
I bet.
There's no stopping it. I mean, he's got his arms are the size of my thighs. He's like Popeye. He's like a wrestler. He's like a shoot. You know, I mean, like,
I couldn't believe what Joint Brett told him to suck his dick or something online.
Yeah, but there was, he went up to his booth and they had some kind of conversation, and then he came outside and I was in a circle with the Swamp Boys. Uh-huh. and Bronson was there, and he just like fucking lost his mind. You know what I mean? I thought I was gonna have to fight him at first, but then I became like his therapist. You know what I mean? I kind of had like a shred of sympathy for the guy. He was saying he went to jail and blah,
yeah,
blah, blah. And everyone hates him and how he wants to be accepted and all this other bullshit. You know,
you
I
were
mean?
The voice of
and
reason? Then, usually you're swinging on people.
I told him, listen, stop fronting. I was like, you know, he's handing that, you know, a jar of skunk around. And I'm like, yo, you think that's real roadkill? I told him, I give him, you know, it's some kind of skunk one or something,
yeah,
like that. Like, but when you smell it, I mean, it kind of has that smell to it, but the bud structure itself is like very kind of leafy and sativa like.
Yeah.
And then when you smoke it, it tastes like straight up hay. And I'm not saying that to be a hater.
No,
like,
no.
I'm giving,
yeah,
you my opinion. And I told him, I was like, hey, listen, if you had something that great, I would congratulate,
yeah,
you.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, just thinking that everyone's saying shit to be a hater. I'm giving you my honest opinion. And everyone that I talked to that was in that expo that saw that stuff was just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he brought it to Emerald Cup too. And it was, and the people that touched the underside of the jar got some orange shit on their fingers that smelled like real skunk.
Right, right. So, I mean, he didn't have any of that going on, but.
Poor fella.
He's charting in dangerous territories, fucking around with Duke and Skunk.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't tangle with either one of those dudes, man. Like, so, you know, we'll see what happens at the next show.
Yeah, right? Let it boil over a little bit.
But and then there's all these other guys that, you know, are, you know, say they have the roadkill, and I had the original Super Skunk back in like 1995. And let me tell you, when you just cracked that jar, it just permeated, you know. And then I had gotten a cut years later. It just wasn't the same. It didn't give out those same kind of turps,
yeah,
or whatever. I don't know if it was a different cut or the, you know, cuts just dud out after
they
a while.
They do, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's starting to happen with the Sour Diesel, because everyone asks me, oh, where's that Sour Diesel at? You know, with that old time Sour Diesel. And you know, you got to figure it. That's like 25 years. That's how long that cut is now. So, and it's just been given, you know, from person to person, from room to room. And I think, you know, cuts adapt to the room that they're in.
Sure.
So, you know, your Sour Diesel is going to come out different than my Sour Diesel. Now, if you start giving out cuts and I start giving out cuts, you know, after a while, I think there could be, you know, some type of genetic drift that, you know, might happen. Not anything drastically, but, you know, there just seems to be these small, subtle things that seem to be missing from the sour nowadays.
Sure, yeah. I mean, acclimates from room to room to room to room, and that thing's so fucking old. Yeah.
Right, but we had, you know, the original Underdog, which was Super Skunk NL times a 91.
Yeah.
It just went bad on us. I mean, we had the cut, and then after a while, it only showed glimmers of itself, you know, when it was really, really good. And it was start, you know, the harvest went down. It was harder to clone and everything. And then after a while, my friend was like, he gave it to me. I did a little bit of work with it, and my friend was like, listen, I'm just gonna let it go.
Yeah.
No, we just let it go, you know, and that was it. But I've heard, and I remember just buying weed. There was this stuff called the wheelchair, and back in the day. that shit, you know, was giving you bomb. And then the same thing after a while, you just could not get the same batches just from buying it after a while. And the same people were growing it and everything, but
what's the wheelchair?
It just, I'm not sure. It was just some type of local strain that was sold in New York City,
okay,
you know, back in the 90s. You know, back then we didn't really have, you know, names weren't really, you know, the thing that they are now. So, I have no idea what it was.
So let's talk about I-95.
I think I've seen some stuff referenced, like, as the wheelchair or the crippler or something like that. And I'm going to have to really find out, you know, where that really came from. But I think that, you know, that stuff came from Amsterdam back in the day.
I'm sure it did, yeah. Let's talk about I-95.
Yeah, and that was the other one that I wanted to talk about.
Let's talk about the history of it, all of it.
You know, that's a Money Mike strain, and originally he bred that back in like 2014. We brought it to the Denver Cup. The last Denver Cup was 2014.
Yeah.
And we brought that. It was Legend Star Dog male times the Triangle Kush.
Correct. Yeah.
So he bred that, we brought that out, and we were friends with Tara Rojo, and we went over to Mindful, and he gave us a tour, and, you know, and so we gave him some seeds, I gave him some Star Dog seeds, he got some I-95 seeds, and, you know, we're just trying, you know, to help the guy out.
Yeah, just be nice.
You know, going further back, he had invited us to share his booth in one of the first few Denver Cups. It might have been 2011.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, I always, you know, respected Phil and, you know, thanked him for, you know, helping us and everything. And so,
sure,
you know, we, you know, gave him seeds to, you know, to play with and stuff. And so, you know, he grew those seeds out, and then, see, this is where it starts getting kind of fudgy, because when I confronted him, you know, he says, you know, that he had started the seeds and left Mindful, or I'm not really sure, but we gave the seeds to Phil, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then before we know it, one of his workers, Matt Ross, started a seed company basically with the seeds that we gave Phil.
Correct. Yeah.
Now Phil claims that he stole them from Mindful, took them out, and started playing with them at his house and all. But you know, we held Phil responsible for that, and he claims that, but, you know, he hired the same guy to run some kind of, you know, get some kind of job in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So to me, I think that, you know, he kind of set him up to kind of be the bad guy. And while Phil spread those genetics all through his, you know, his dealings with acreage.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's got the acreage thing, and he does, you know, other smaller stuff on the side. You know what I mean? Like, I know, you know, he got some stuff in Baltimore and Maryland and Pennsylvania, and I don't know if those are acreage related or not, but I do know they're running the I-95 ChemD that those guys made. And they did that, and then we had the elite guys, which those guys are friends of ours.
Yeah, they're good friends of mine too.
But, and you know, they took a pack of I-95 and just, you know, they did the same thing. You know, I mean, they bought them. I mean, but then, you know, they saw what these guys did with it, and they started doing the same crosses that they did.
But they didn't sell it.
And, They didn't sell them, but they were giving them away.
Yeah.
But just even doing giving them away, you're trying to like make a name for yourself. You know what I mean? And the way that I look at it is, if you know, if you bought, if you're given a pack of I-95 Chem D, do you think you're ever gonna buy one from me? You know what I mean? The chances are
not. Did you guys ever release the I-95 Chem D or the I-95 publicly?
Oh yeah, I'm selling them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because yeah, so I'm selling them now.
So everybody, go grab your I-95 Chem D from JJ Top Dog Seeds right here.
Well, basically, I took I took F2s from them guys, and then they gave me F1s, and I made F2s with them. But then I started crossing into some of the different other strains. And then Money Mike also did a remake of his I-95 into the Chem D and made the Chem the D-95s. So that's Money Mike's take on it.
Yeah.
And my take is on is just an F2 on it.
Gotcha.
So I took their, and then I took their original, that Chem Deli Chem, the Chem D, the Chem D leaning, is the one that I F2'd at, that I had gotten. But I had, and I went over there with those, and went after Phil left, and Matt and his brother, Jackson, both gave me seeds, gave me buds, told me how much they loved me, all the whole thing, and then he went around and did that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then Wave Gem did the same exact thing. They came up to our booth in Boston and told us how much they loved us and blah, blah, blah. And Money Mike wanted to punch the guy out because he was playing around with he was getting into dangerous territory at that time. And I told him, yo, you better just back off. And, you're getting a little bit too close.
Yeah.
And then he got all stupid and did the same thing. You know what I mean? So everyone tells you that they love you, how much they respect you, this and that. Come and kiss your ass. They get your gear, and they want to be like you, and they just go and just try to copy it, all the work that you've done.
Yeah.
And so, it just seems to be a, common trait, on Instagram now.
Yeah, it's a different world. So, at least on the forums, like, people would get called out all the time by a lot of people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but, now, it's just as easy to, you just block someone. No one really, has the, respect or the decency anymore. Back in the day, it was a lot different.
It was a lot different than now. I've never heard of that Wave Gen. Is that a new company?
Just some guys. I think there were some kid that was out of Rhode Island, and he's up there in Maine now.
All right, I'll keep my eye out.
I don't want to give. Wave Gem or Gem, Wave Gem Genetics, or I don't know. He's changed his name a few times. He's gotten deleted. And then you got Greenpoint, another one. You know what I mean? And he took the I-95. He took the Star Dog. He did the same thing.
This guy right here.
Wave Genetics.
All right.
Yeah, someone put it up. Wave Genetics. That's the guy.
So, hey, I got a question for you. A lot of people don't know what DNL is in the first place. Can you go over it for people?
Well, as far as I know, the DNL originally originated was the RFK skunk, which the Weasel Mike and Gabby went down to a dead show at RFK and scored a bag of Kind Bud and found, I don't know, like 8 or 10 seeds or whatever. So They both agreed to split the seeds, and when they did it, they actually put all the seeds out on the table, and they each one by one. I picked this one, I picked that one, I picked this one, I picked that one. And when the weasel, and he wound up getting, I don't know, like three different phenos. And that's when I first met him in Central Park. He was selling skunk one, skunk two, skunk three.
Yeah.
That's what he called them. And then a friend of his wound up getting like some type of some NL seeds and some Hawaiian seeds.
Yeah.
And I think that he wound up having no seeds, and he gave him some of those RFK clones. And so he made his own strain, combining the three, and he just called it the NL. But you know, it might have had some NL in it, but it was mostly sativa dominant in structure.
Yeah.
And you know, and the Hawaiian, it kind of had these tropical skunky tones a little bit. You know what I mean? Kind of you get little bits, you know, you could taste in a sour sometimes, you know what I mean? So that was a strain that he grew exclusively, and I think that he gave it back to the weasel to grow. And you know, that's what I suspect was in the room when those seeds were made originally, well, weren't made, but were found originally, you know, I mean, in the 91, because, I used to sell weed for the weasel. He grew it, I sold it. But he had Vondo, and there were a few other people that would weasel in and try to buy it, because it was like a race, because I would, you know, he would only get like a couple pounds. So it was like, you know, you just had to grab everything that he had at the time, just cash him out. And you know, this way you had control of all of that, because, you know, back in the day, people would just come in and just want to buy it all. You know what I mean? And I would be like, I can't sell it to you all, because, you know, I like to spread it out.
Yeah.
And you know, I would sell it to other people that did me favors, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, they'd be like, yo, when I get something in, you know, I'll hit you off. You can make some money. Just do me a favor, you know, get me, you know, you save me, you know, this or that. And so you could use it as like a bartering tool to, you know, get other favors from people.
Sure. Wait, do you know if the RFK is still around, or is that long gone?
No, that's been long gone. Yeah. And then really recently, they lost the DNL within the last like 2 years or so also. So, I mean, that's why I was thinking about trying to, you know, fall back on some of those seeds I've made.
Yeah, dude.
And see if I could pull anything out that's like the original.
That would be real cool. Real cool.
Is really, I wanted to try to reverse that into the 91 and see what would happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because when I first started growing in like 99, I had been selling weed for a long time, and anytime I had anything that was super killing, I found seeds, I would save them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then at one time I had a really badass collection from the 80s and all that, and the cops took it. I got busted.
Fucking pigs.
And the cops wound up taking it. So I wound up starting a new one. And then so when I started that one, and when I started getting the chem dog, every once in a while you might find a seed or two in there. So I would save them. And so when I started, I popped a few of those seeds, and really back then there was no really such thing as the sour.
Yeah.
But looking back, I had found some stuff that was very sour, like very sourish, you know what I mean? And I remember I had something happened. I think that we had to close down the grow or whatever, and I had just pop these seeds and I sexed them. Mm-hmm. And I gave them, and I gave the clone to my friend, and I was like, listen, I was like, I said, the only thing I know that this is like, you know, came from out of the chem dog and it's a female. And I gave it to him, and he grew it out, and that became the guava, but not the guava of today.
I got you.
And so he called that cut the guava, but it was kind of very sourish and all that. And he ran it and then eventually lost it, you know what I mean? And then years later, I wound up doing the Star Dog, and I had gifted my friend some seeds to give to Andre Grossman, the photographer of High Times.
Okay.
And he grew them out. And he found a pheno that was today's guava. So what happened was they liked that cut so much. And at the time, they had, at High Times, they had the Kyle Cushman strawberry cough.
Yeah.
And they actually had a plant in the office, and like anyone that went into the office, if they liked you enough, they would cut you a couple clones right off the plant in the office and let you go home with them. so eventually the same thing happened with the guava. Mm-hmm. Both the guava and the strawberry cough became the office strains. So years later, like I was saying, the same guy that named the guava tells me that he got the guava back. So we eventually find out that it comes full circle back from the High Times guys. And so like that was how, you know, that the guava kind of got its name of today, though. But it was originally some type of sour chem something, the original cup, but I remember it, and it was very sour diesel-like. But I don't think, I didn't get to ever finish it out, actually. Well, one of them I did, and then another one I didn't. I did get to finish one out, but then I had popped another seed, and that was the seed that I gave my friend. But it came from the same batch, though, of seeds
now
that I had saving.
Was the Stardog guava similar in terps or anything to the other guava?
Not really. I mean, the guava of today is more chem-4-ish.
What am I thinking?
More like the chem-4. Whereas the other one was more kind of 91-ish.
Yeah.
A little more fuely, soury fuely, the original one was.
Do you still have any of those old, the purple Afghan cross? I think you did a purple Star Dog with it.
With a purple Star Dog with what?
I think it was British Empire's Purple Afghan.
Yeah, I did. I never really, I never popped any of those seeds. I'm sitting on them, and I think I did some into the Chem D also.
Oh, wow.
And I think I did some into the original Haze too.
Those all could be real. That Afghan original Haze could be fucking real interesting. Yeah.
I wound up flowering out some of that stuff, and some of it was green and some of it was purple. Mm-hmm. Just by genetics.
Yeah.
You know, and I wound up using a male, and you know, I fucked up and never made F2s out of that. You know, but I do have that, just the crosses into the Star Dog and the Chem D.
Yeah, that would be fascinating to see pop back up.
Yeah, but the purple Star Dog that I made you know, the purple came from the trade dog male, and the purple probably came from the Afghan.
Yeah.
And that the Afghan was a Sensi Seed Afghan.
The old Afghani one?
Afghan one, yeah. And I think, you know, looking back into that, that wasn't really like a true cultivar as in one strain. I think it was a mix of their best Afghanis or something like that. And even like looking back into the maple leaf, I think even like the maple leaf really wasn't really really like one stable strain. I think there were a variety of different phenos in there. Because if you look back into the seed bank catalog, they actually offer that as like a 50 pack or something like that, and it's more of like a breeder's, you know what I mean? They don't really, you know what I mean? But it sounded like you know there was, you know, a lot of different varieties in there. But the one guy that they talk about, Maple Leaf. Whoever they called one guy Maple Leaf of you know, the phenos that he was growing at the time. So I guess all that was based off of his stuff.
You know, I've always found that a lot of the stuff that was listed as Maple Leaf Indica, like that was used, tend to look like Afghani one. So I don't know if they have a similar parentage that way back up.
Okay. I think, you know, because I look back and I think, you know, if you look into the catalogs on the Afghani one, it says it's like a mix of their three or four best Afghanis or whatever, you know. But when I grew it, it grew very fat stemmed, single cola, kind of short, medium height, and it didn't really have a really the terps on it weren't really super strong. It was kind of subtle.
Yeah.
And so that's why I figured it would be a good
outcross
to go into.
Yeah.
Outcross into the Chem D because it wouldn't be dominant, you know? Because it kind of had like a kind of a medicine-y, a little medicine-y, piney thing going to it. You know, it was decent. You know, I mean, I smoked the flower. But, you know, it wasn't anything that would compare to the Chem Dog. But the structure, you know, definitely added, you know, because it gave you that really thick stem.
Yeah.
You know, and all the the calyx to bud ratio, you know, there wasn't much leaf on that. So
you were one of the first guys I saw from not necessarily the modern era, but prior to the modern era that was actually using like the Northern Lights, the Super Skunks, the Afghani one, shit like that. And that always inspired me to go in that direction for those baselines. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I was always a big Sensi Seed fan back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, their genetics are not the same.
Unfortunately.
As what they were back then. Yeah. But you know, but if you're looking back, most of that stuff they got from Neville.
Yep.
You know what I mean? All that stuff was seed bank stuff that, you know, when Neville was in jail and, you know, they bailed him out and, you know, they gave him money or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that was the story behind that.
Yeah. Some of the best stuff there is as far as baselines go. I think if people don't grow that stuff, they won't have an idea of a lot of the traits in modern stuff. Like they don't have a good base knowledge.
And looking back, like I know people, you know, that have talked to the Drunkards and they've admitted that they've lost all their mother plants back in the day. But, you know, someone like Adam Dunn, he was working, you know, with them back in the 90s. And so he, you know, knows firsthand a lot of that stuff that went on. But, you know, he left. After he left, that's real, you know. And then I don't know who else was doing the breeding back in the 90s.
I'm not sure.
But, you know, because you used to be able to get those cellophane cord packs.
Yeah.
And then they upgraded to the box with the bubble.
Yeah, the box and the bubble.
All that stuff was junk. And leading up until today, because my friend, he had bought a pack of Jack Herrera, like, you know, the year it won the cup or whatever. And, you know, he grew it out. You know, I was selling the weed. And after a while, people got sick of it. You know what I mean? They started doing too much. I told him to stop doing it. He's like, oh, don't worry, I'll kill it. I still have the whole pack left. You know, years later, I said, hey, why don't you look for that pack? Well, I lost it. You know what I mean? So then I was able to grab a pack of the boxes, and I gave him a pack of the Jack Herrera, and he grew it out. And it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was junk. And, you know, I think really by then, that's when a lot of people started outsourcing to us.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff comes back. You know, it's kind of like the Jack Turk to it, but it's, you know, it grows very sativa-like, but it, you know, it's kind of wispy and, like, I don't know. I just call it like generic Amsterdam weed. And like even like Adam says, you know, like the Jack itself is like, I don't know, like a 12-way, a 12-way cross or something. You know what I mean, just the four things that just cross back into each other, and after a while, it just becomes like a genetic like mess almost, where it just comes, it's just very generic in what it's producing.
It becomes a muddled mess.
Right.
Well, it looks like we got a minute left. Anything else you want to get in, my man?
No, we got into pretty much everything. I'm surprised we're able to squeeze it in.
I know, dude. Well, hey, it's a pleasure having you on. You're one of the best. Thank you very much, man.
I appreciate it. I'm glad we were able to go over these things and just, you know, iron out some of the confusion that might have been out
there. Yeah, for sure, man. Appreciate it. Talk soon, brother.
All right, man. Peace out.
Want more Breeder Syndicate? Be sure to check out our Patreon by going to Google and searching Breeder Syndicate Patreon. We have a secret Discord where we are available at most times and interact daily. There are a lot of perks to be had there, so check it out. Need seeds? Check out riotseeds.com, where you can get our seeds and our reversal spray for making your own feminized seeds.